Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. Remember now thy Creator. This is the series of messengers from the book of Ecclesiastes, and today we are beginning chapter 3. And we are, and the devotion is entitled Making Sense of Time and Life. The seasons, the sweat, the sweetness, verse 1 to 8, verse 9 to 10, and verse 11. Last week, we studied how Solomon tells us what is a fulfilled life. When we have God in perspective of life, you'll find that life makes sense. Not any God, but the God, the living and true God who created all things. You see, when you look at verse 11, the word God there, right at the end of that verse, in the original, is described the God with the definite article. Right? And each time this definite article is used, since its beginning, it's a description of men and women who knew that living and true God, that Creator, not any other God, but the God who created the heavens and the earth. And you'll find, very interestingly, that the book of Genesis describes the man like Enoch, who walked with the God. The man like Noah, who walked with the God. The man like Abraham, who walked with the God. And the man Solomon, who walked with the living and true God. And the Lord wants us to know this Creator, who made all things, the one who made you and I. If you have a relationship with Him, then you'll find that life is whole and complete. The jigsaw puzzle of life comes into place. It's beautiful. That's what He said in verse 11. But if you don't know this Creator God, then you'll find that life somehow, you know, is a mismatch for you. And you cannot explain the depressing things, the things that comes into your heart, that click your mind, click your soul, click your emotions. But if you have this God with you, you'll find that your emotional makeup is very different. God is with you to help and to bless you in your life. And so, last week we discussed, we said that there is one God, the living and true God, who gives to man that which is good. Last week we saw, not only does this God give to us the physical things, but He also gives to us the spiritual things, right? The physical things, the ability to do an honest day's work. Remember last week we said, your honest labor in the Lord, well, God will reward you with wages. And, you know, and He gives to you that ability to eat, the ability to drink, the ability to tell yourself that life is good. Right? We have a God who, when you are connected with Him, you realize that, you know, all things flow together. And then He also gives you the spiritual things, the things of the mind, the things of the heart, wisdom, what we think, knowledge, what we know, and joy, how we can find joy and enjoy life. You know, when God created this world, it is to be a paradise. Right? When He placed Adam and Eve on this earth, it was a paradise. Man is to enjoy all of God's creation. until man fell. Nevertheless, this created world is still a place where God has made, where man can still enjoy this life. When God renewed his mind, renewed his heart, and he sees in perspective the things that he is receiving from God in this life. And so we said that for a child of God, you know that all that you have comes from the hand of God. And God is the one who gives us a true perspective of what life is all about. And he tells us that apart from God, there is no true enjoyment or joy in life. And so it's very important that he tells us, he wants us to know that God is with you to help you through the problems of life. When you have God with you, he blesses you in your life. He strengthens your heart. Your circumstances can be so difficult, and yet your heart is so much at peace through those difficult circumstances. We were studying the life of Joseph this morning. He was sold as a slave. He was sold into an Egyptian household. And he was a servant there. And yet, the Bible says how he prospered. Although his circumstances in life was not good at all, he had to serve a master, but he served with distinction. God was with him, you see. And even when difficult encounters come his life, right, the wife of Potiphar tried to seduce him, and you know, he had to tell her, "No, you are the wife of my master, and this is what he has given, right, to my master. How can I sin against God to take my master's wife?" And so when she insisted, she started to advance. Finally, he had to run. And he ended up in prison. Was life, you know, out of order for him? No. Life was in order for him because he was living through the seasons of life according to God's purpose and plan. And therefore, if you read today's Daily Light, it says here, when you have God with you, you can be encouraged in your heart. Although, you know, the world around you seems to be tumbling down. It says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, we glory in tribulations also. The Lord is the strength of my life, or the joy of the Lord is my strength. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. By him let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And so he tells us, Solomon tells us, there is such a life that you live under the sun on earth that is beautiful. Life with God, when you acknowledge God's hand in your life. Right? And now, and he will continue to help us make sense of life now by linking time into the equation of life. He now help us to see life in perspective, right, with a time factor. Right? He says that, and he will spread before us life through time, and he measures it. Right? He measures life for us according to the events of life. Right? After he tells us that we cannot enjoy life apart from God, now he tells us that life paints for us the picture, a picture through, with familiar events. And we all go through these events in life. And he wants us to make sense of these events that we go through in life, you see. Because we all go through them in life. And so, to help us carry through this text, we have three thoughts. The seasons, verse 1 to 8. The sweat, verse 9 to 10. The sweetness, verse 11. Right? The seasons, verse 1 to 8. To everything, there is a season. A time to every purpose under the heaven. Solomon tells us that in all the events of life, there is a season for every common event that you experience in life. And it is set chronologically in time. And it is with a purpose. God wants us to know that, you know, the things that happen to you in life is no accident. It is not by chance. But there is a purpose that God has willed for your life. Right? Just like we studied the life of Joseph today. What was God doing? Well, God was making a people out of his entry into Egypt, because his going into Egypt will make way for his entire family to be there. And for the next 400 years, God is going to make one family to become a nation of people in Egypt. God has a purpose. God is fulfilling his purpose. And Joseph was part of that plan. And, you know, the way it happens is that he was sent, right, because, you know, via a very mysterious event that happened to him. Right, his brothers hated him, threw him into the pit, sold him as a slave to the traders. Can we understand life? Well, if you have God in perspective, then there is a perspective, there is a purpose, a set purpose that God wants us to see. Right? And he's leading us to see that greater purpose of God in the chronology of life, in your life. And God wants you to see him in perspective in your life. Right? You are placed in this earth for a greater glory, a transcending purpose that Solomon is leading his readers to understand. And he does so giving us the cross-section of life. Right? Solomon gives us 14 contrasting episodes, scenes or events of life that pretty much covers the whole spectrum of man's life in all his encounters. Right? Each of them opposites, antithetical, converse, but true. So he begins by showing us the beginning and the ending of life before telling us the in-betweens of life. You know, you go to a graveyard, you see the tombstone, and you see the date of a person's birth. Then you see another date, the date of his death. Right? And then you look at the in between. We are living in that in between. And so Solomon tells us that, you know, there is that beginning and an ending. So he begins by saying there is a time to be born and a time to die. the average 24-hour day has 1,440 minutes, as this pastor was describing, 86,400 seconds of time. And time moves only in one direction. It is always expended, and once it is expended, you cannot retrieve it. Okay? And it becomes a memory to you, a reminiscence. And so it begs the question, how are you spending it? Does it mean that death ends all things? Is there a possibility that life can outlast itself? So he wants us to think about life and the perspective of life. I recall when I was in primary school, I was in a choir, and we sang this song entitled Sunrise, Sunset, which I understand now is Jewish in origin, describing life through its seasons. I don't know if some of you have learned, you know. I remember suddenly it came back to me. Sunrise, sunset, right? Sunrise, sunset, swiftly flow the days. Seedlings turn overnight to sunflowers, blossoming even as we gaze. Sunrise, sunset, swiftly flow the years, one season following another, laden with happiness and tears. Then, you know, and it was if the beginning of the song goes like that, you know. Sunrise, sunset, is there the little girl I carried? Is this the little boy at play? I don't remember growing older. When did they? Then he talks about the child growing up, you know. When did she get to be a beauty? When did he grow to be so tall? Right, now I look at my son, he's taller than me. Just recently overshoot. You know, this is life, right? And he tells us sunrise and sunset, swiftly fly the years. Right, I'm nearly 50. Time has passed for some of you even more, right? 60, 70, 80. Wow. For a fully grown adult, on the average, your heart beats 103,689 times, and your blood travels 270 million kilometers. You breathe 23,040 times. You inhale 12.4 cubic meters of air. You eat 1.4 kilograms of food. Well, I don't think it is the average adult, right? You drink 2.7 liters of liquids. You lose 0.4 kg of waste. You speak 4,800 words, including some unnecessary ones. You move 750 muscles. Your nails grow 0.00011 cm. Your hair grows 0.435 mm. You exercise 7 million brain cells. The day a person dies, all these activities of a normal day ceased. Right? This is a physical aspect of life. Okay? And then there's an emotional aspect. We build relationships. We touch lives with our lives. We cherish family ties. We build friendships. We laugh together, we sing together, we enjoy the company of one another, we care for one another, we help one another, we love one another, we eat together, we go places together, we support each other, we strengthen each other. Then there is a day of parting, when we say goodbye to one another when death strikes. Right? Goodbye, in a physical sense, when we die. And so we'll miss them. We bring flowers to the tomb wherewith they were buried to remember the good times. And as Christians, we bury our dead. You know, I was talking to my grandmother, and very interestingly, as a Christian, she says, you know, I don't want to die twice. I don't want to die the physical death, then I don't want to be burned to death. It's so painful. I don't understand why people want to be burned. And after you die, you think you won't feel it when you are burned to death. Then he said, they exhume. That's another matter. But I realized that God has given her understanding. Nobody taught her. She communed with the Lord daily, early in the morning. She'll wake up early in the morning and he said, you know, I call out to Jesus, ask for his blessing, to bless my family, to bless my children, bless my grandchildren, grandchild. You know, and I have my coffee. God gave her wisdom to see life in perspective. A time to plant, verse 2 says, a time to pluck up that which is planted. This is a farming imagery that tells us the seasons in the farmer's work. Right? There's a time to plant, a time to water, a time to add fertilizers. You know, I was sharing about the bamboo. You know, the bamboo takes 5 to 6 years to grow. You know, you can plant water for many, many years and you don't see anything. But within a very short time, suddenly it grows. And it grows to a great height. Hundreds of feet within a very short time. Well, the Lord wants us to see the seasons of life. And he tells us that, you know, there is a time to add fertilizers. There's a time to plant, right? And there's a time for harvest. In Israel, we see the olives, you know, the figs, the vines. The figs comes in springtime, August and September period. And the timing is important. The fruit only comes in its season. When it's not in season, you don't find the fruit. And for fig trees, it's very interesting. You have the early figs that will tell you whether, you know, what the harvest will be. And it comes in its season. The farmer knows when to plant and when to pluck it up, when to let the land fallow before he would plant again. And in the seasons of life too, as one writer puts it, you moved on and uproot yourself from one place to another, and you move from one locality to another locality to serve, to work. There is a season, a time to kill and a time to heal. This pastor puts it very well. He says, life seems somewhere strangely fixed between a battlefield and a first aid station, between murder and medicine. There is a mafia in one part of the world and a missionary in another. I recall the Opium War. You know, on the one hand, you see the allied European nations feeding China with opium and destroying so many lives. Then on the other hand, you see so many missionaries coming in to give the gospel. There is a mafia in one part of the world and a missionary in another. And sometimes, he says, they appear in adjacent columns in our newspapers. And we are forced to deal with those opposites killing and healing. Right? One article would say, tell us of a murderer, how savage he is, and another would tell us about a miracle drug. Right? We remember we have someone who contracted cancer, and I saw this man. Within 2 weeks, he was gone. Young children, one baby, and the wife expecting another in the womb. Then we see another family. Same thing, cancer. And God, in his season, in his time, gave to him a cancer drug. Cost several hundred dollars, one pill. But he survived. You know, it's about 8 years now. First generation cancer medicine. And he's still living today. Cannot understand. A time to break down and a time to build up. Right. There is this is a picture of renewal. A picture, you know, I was looking at the picture of the Marina Bay area. In the year 2000, it was just reclaimed land. Everything was empty. Right. But today, 2011, or 2016, you see the whole place built up so beautiful. Time to break down, a time to build. I was visiting one of our brethren before the roof of the house was taken down and construction will begin for a new family home. We pray for safety of the construction work, to the construction workers, to the neighbors, to God, to ask God to bless the new home to be built for his own honor and glory. And God sends the Babylonians to destroy, you know, the temple in Jerusalem. Remember, God was the one who instructed Solomon to build the temple in Jerusalem. God said to him, right, or God said to his father, to store up so that he can build. And Solomon built. Then what happened? Well, God sent the Babylonians in 586 BC to destroy the temple. Right? A time to break down and a time to build. So Israel spent 70 years in captivity in Babylon. And then God sent them back again. And God gave them the instruction through Cyrus, the Persian king, to rebuild the temple. Right? And this was the temple that stood during the time of Christ. And then in AD 70, God sent the Romans to destroy it. The Bible tells us that there is a temple that will come during the time of the tribulation. When will this be? I was listening to someone who was monitoring that area and how, you know, he sent a drone over that site in order to find out the activities with regard to the movement and the rebuilding. The Bible, you know, we know from our history that Israel came into the land again in 1948. In 1967, they recaptured Jerusalem. When will God allow Israel to rebuild the temple? We know there is during the tribulation period. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. I visited a brother in the wake last Saturday. His mother had went home to be with the Lord. 94 years old. And she accepted the Lord in the last days of her life. The family was sorrowful. And yet they were happy. Happy that she's in heaven. Safe in the arms of Jesus. This is life. Right? There is a wedding coming up. And we would all be dressed up to congratulate the wedding couple and their family. Verse 5. A time to cast away stones. A time to gather stones together. A time to embrace. A time to refrain from embracing. Right? In human relationships. there is the ups and downs. There are those times when family would embrace one another. And there are those times when siblings hurt each other so much. There is that deep hatred and unforgiveness. You know, and yet there is a time of reconciliation again. When God would bring them together again. Minister healing again in the relationship. Can you understand this? A time to, and verse 5 says, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. Right, when Israel crossed the Jordan, they came to Gilgal, and they made a heap of stone to mark their first entry to the promised land. Right, God's promise to them. A time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. You know, you invest and you can be successful in your business venture. And the business venture can also fail. What is ours today is lost tomorrow. How uncertain is life, as we said. But you want us to have a perspective, right? A perspective of God in the equation of life. You see, for the unbeliever, they cannot understand the events of life. It's just one thing happening after the other. You know, you get sad, then you become happy again. You're sad and you're happy, right? And you don't understand what is what. But for a child of God, it's not like that. Even in calamity, even in those times of difficulties, you know, right, that there is a God in heaven who is ordering all things for your life. A time to rent, a time to sow. Right? To sow speaks of the preparing of a dress for a joyful occasion. A time when calamity comes. A time to rend our clothes, like Job. Right? When he received news, you know, that his children, all 10 of them, suddenly died. Right? He had to attend a funeral. Imagine funeral with 10 coffins, right? All of his children lying there. You know, cannot imagine, right? Terrible time. He's a child of God. He loved God so much. Right? Every morning he would wake up to praise God, to, you know, every morning he would wake up to pray, every morning he would spend time with God. He was so close to God and how God prospered him, but suddenly all these things happened to him. And the Bible tells us, what did he do? Well, he tore his clothes. Right? Verse 20 of Job 1 says, Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down on the ground. And what did he do? He worshipped God. You see, a man of God's response to the events of life is different, you know. He understands God in the events of life. There's a time to keep silence, a time to speak. A time when silence is golden. There's a time when we need to speak, right? Like we studied in the Acts of the Apostles. They are to continue to preach the word of God, even though the authorities ask them to stop preaching. What did they say? We ought to obey God, then men. Then you see in Jesus' ministry, towards the end of part, he was silent to all the accusations and hatred of the religious leaders. Right? Fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before the shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. A time to love, a time to hate. The embracing of a brethren. A holy hatred for those who perpetuate evil. A time for war and a time of peace. Well, we speak of national calamity. Recently, we hear of news of coups and usurping of governmental authority in a chaotic world. Can we make sense of all these events? Well, if you know of a God who makes all things, and if you have with you the Word of God that tells you about the future and the events of the future, then you'll be able to study and to know, right, that some things are happening and God is fulfilling His purpose for His, for to work out His purpose, right, for this world. Right, just like Turkey, right, all these things that happen. Right, Turkey is very much involved, you know, in Bible prophecy. The seven churches of Revelation, all found in Turkey. And so, from verse 1 to 8, we see the seasons of life. And God wants us to see in the seasons of your life, right, that there must be a God in that perspective. Right. And verse 9, 10, the sweat. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Right. Solomon tells us about the unprofitable works of men in their time of life when they sweat to no avail. Right. They have not understood the purpose of life in His creation in this world. Right. There are men who spend all their life building buildings, right, gathering, you know, goods for this world. Right. At the end of their life, they regret it. Spending all their life gathering the material things of this life and say, what do I do with it? Right. They have not understood the meaning and purpose of life. They think that life is simply this three-dimensional 60, 70, 80 years. But there is more to life than that. Right? So Solomon speaks about the sweat. Right? He says, I have seen the travail. The word travail means occupation. Right? It means the work that he does, that God gave to man to do. Well, if you have understood, like what we have said, right, God is the one who ordained work, right, as a result of the curse. And therefore, if you have understood this, then, you know, you'll be willing to do an honest day's work, an honest day's labor quietly, you know, and you receive an honest day's wage and enjoy the things that God gives to you. You know, if you are able to, if you have a little and you are happy with the little that God gives to you, you are a very satisfied man. But if God gives to you a little and you cannot be satisfied, then, you know, when God gives you more, you cannot be satisfied too. Therein lies the perspective of a man's heart. If you have God in the equation, he says, verse 11, it is beautiful, the sweetness. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can work out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. God is the one that makes sense to life. Because he is the one who orders the events of life. All who knows that will know that they are in good hands under the care of God Almighty. Do you know that? Right, today we were studying the life of Joseph. Right, how God ordered every event of his life. You know, to become the overseer in Potiphar's household. To become the overseer in prison. Right, in prison he was still overseer, He got the favor of the prison keeper. At home, he was the overseer for his father, right, over all his brothers. Somehow, you see, God gave a perspective to his life. The Spirit of God was with him. You know, we were quoting from the book of Titus, how servants should behave. No talking back. The servant is obedient. No purloining. Purloining means, you know, to cheat. To cheat your master. Joseph was such a person. He was obedient to the master's instructions. So much so that the master trusted him. He can be depended on. You know, the master gave him everything. Let him take care of everything. Because he know that, you know, it will be in good hands. He was such a person. God's Spirit was upon him. And, you know, the Bible tells us that he was a prosperous man. Very prosperous. Because he knew a perspective of God in his life. God is working out his purpose for him in his life. And God is working out his purpose for your life. A good purpose. He wants to use you for his glory. And he wants you to know it. That he wants to use you for his glory. And if you would yield yourself to him, he would make you a vessel to reflect his eternal glory. And the Lord makes no mistakes. You know, when you became a living soul, he has a plan for your life. A good plan. And it's not just time, you know. And he was describing to us, Solomon was describing to us, these seasons of life. It's not just event after event, one event, that event, I'm not happy, next event, I'm happy. No. God is working out something for you in your life. And he wants you to know it. And he wants you to be blessed by that knowledge and that dependence upon him as he fulfilled his life for you. Right? To his own honor and glory. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank thee for thy mercy in gathering us to this prayer meeting to see the seasons of life. And to have a perspective of time and life. Lord, may thou help us to understand and understand well thy purpose in our lives. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.